Call us at 877-500-5266 or go online at kbo.fm to support KBOO Community Radio. It's pundit free.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners who donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Katie O'Brien's, an Irish pub serving traditional American food, located at 2809 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, open every day from 8 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. Lunch was provided by Huber's Cafe, serving turkey entrees and their Spanish coffee. Dinner was provided by Fire on the Mountain, a Portland wings stop, open from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., serving wings and sides at three different Portland locations.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 11 o'clock. Coming up next is Stage and Studio with D. May Roberts.
Explosion!
I'm D. May Roberts. Today, a one-hour edition of Stage and Studio. First up, we feature Little Shop of Horrors at Portland Center Stage at the Armory. It's the iconic hit musical currently running till October 16th. We're listening to the live singing right now with my guests. Then we'll hear from playwright Jeannie Sakata about Hold These Truths, the story of civil rights hero Gordon Hirabayashi, who challenged Japanese-American internment during World War II. And in the last part of the hour, we'll talk with Lobsang Tenzin and Barry Hunt about the film The Lower Rooms at the Oregon Independent Film Festival. That screens September 23rd at 9:45 p.m. at Clinton Street Theater. And we'll offer tickets to all of these shows, Portland Center Stage, The Lower Rooms, and a copy of Niecy Shaw's book, Everfair. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. And that's what I'm talking about. That was a great song. You guys did a fabulous job singing that. And it was live, right?
Yeah.
It was live.
Oh, yeah.
I'm D. May Roberts. With me in the studio are three very talented singer-actresses. We just heard singing live at Portland Center Stage, Little Shop of Horrors. Alexis Tidwell, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
You play Crystal, and Johari Nandi Mackey, welcome.
Thank you.
And you play Chiffon.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to Stage and Studio. Yeah, I don't want to say that you're a Greek chorus, but you sort of are.
We are.
We are, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, you comment on all the action that's happening in Little Shop of Horrors. Mm-hmm. Every single moment, practically, mm-hmm. right? So you sort of are a Greek chorus.
Absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So is this the first time each of you have done the musical?
Well, this actually is not my first time. I've played this role before, but...
Me, Johari, this is my first time doing it professionally, but I was in the show in high school.
Oh, so you have done the show, both
yes.
of you.
Yes. Yeah. Now, we're both familiar with it.
Yeah, of course. So the backstory of Little Shop is that it was first a 1960s movie by Roger Corman that starred a very young and unknown at the time, Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
You both have been in the show. You want to share the plot, take turns sharing the plot here? Of what Little Shop is about?
Yeah, Little Shop is about opportunity. No. Little Shop is about a guy who's kind of just been kicked down his whole life and told no and not really given any opportunity. He's grown up in Skid Row, which is this really run down, kind of sad place where nobody yeah. can just really make it to the top. And he gets presented with this kind of weird opportunity to exchange human lives for success. And he gets the opportunity from the wonderful plant that we all love, Audrey, too. And
Audrey, Alexis too. We'll talk about the plant pretty
tell
soon.
Tell you the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Audrey, too, convinces him that if you just do what I want you to do, which is feed me people.
Feed me. I remember that line.
Then
feed me.
I will bring you all the success in the world that you thought you would never get. And so he's faced with the right thing or the things he wants in life, and he chooses a little too late the right thing to do.
It's a love story.
Yeah.
Love story, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's also, you know, a little bit of horror with the plant, right? Because it's a carnivorous mm-hmm. eating plant.
Absolutely.
Or carnivorous plant. Yeah. It likes to eat people.
Oh, yeah.
So, but you three, I'm giving Ebony space here, too, because mm-hmm. you're a trio. Well, you know, you keep the action moving.
Absolutely.
Because you're commenting on everything, and you're kind of singing through all of the scenes.
Yeah, we are witness to everything. At the very beginning of the show, we tell you, look, we were there for the whole thing, so now we're going to tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. You'll see us in it, but then you'll also see us being very aware of what's going on, but then also very present.
Yes, that's what's so beautiful about it is the urchins, we at some points are commenting on what's going on. At some points, we're helping you know how to feel because we've already experienced it. And other points, we're actually in the moment of the scene and experience it for the first time. So we're really like
you're reacting to
everything.
Audience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite? I guess, you know, I'm sure when you're doing a musical, there are times that this is your favorite song, but then you get sick of it, and so you have a new favorite song. At the moment, what's your favorite song from the show?
I will say for the majority of the show, Mushnick and Son has been one of my favorites. I just love that, like...
Is it like a ballad? I don't remember that song.
It's like a Jewish song. It's like...
The tango.
Yeah, like, and I love it. I love it. It's just so, it moves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Yeah. How about you?
Mine would have to be Get It, which is the plant's big song, mm-hmm. is when he's letting him know what you need to do. You need to feed me. And where the urchins are on stage, and we're not supposed to be stealing a lot of focus, but I find myself rocking out to that song on the stairs, and I'm trying not to go so hard, but it's such a rock ballad, and they're just jamming.
Oh, wow. Well, so how would you describe the style of the songs? You know?
It's like Motown mixed with...
rock.
Yeah. It has a... To me, it mirrors the style of music... all the genres in the 60s that were popular.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, and is some of it a cappella for you, or is it all kind of, it's a little doo-wop-y too, right?
Oh, it's very doo-wop.
Very doo-wop-y.
Yes, for sure, the 60s. There's one small part that's a cappella, but that's just Ebony. Ebony's has a quick moment where she's a cappella, but the rest of it is... accompanied.
Well, we had you know, talked about how you comment on every single scene, so you really are watching everything. So are you on stage all the time?
The entire act one, we are on stage.
Are you on stage?
So what's the transitions that the trio goes through, you know, as you're watching this unfold? What's your actor backstories?
Well,
as a whole,
We want
what a lot of the other people in Skid Row want, and that's our shot, our time in the spotlight. So even though we know the action of the show, we still show that this was our time of elevation as well. We went from being one thing to being another, and we grew from these like kind of street ratty girls to very put together supreme like women because of the success of Seymour as well.
So you rise and fall with Seymour then.
Absolutely. All of Skid Row rises with Seymour. And something that the three of us talk about all the time is the little backstory that we have for ourselves is that we know that we are young black girls in the 60s, and so we know that success is not as easy for us. And so we're going to take the opportunity to ride this thing up. We're going to save the money that we get in this situation, and we're going to go to L.A. or we're going to go to Detroit and, you know, be these big Motown stars. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of backstory that we kind of have.
And the urchins aren't all good, you know. Everybody in this show feeds off of something they want, and there are parts in the show where we kind of... We feed off of Seymour and what he's going through to get what we want. It's a deep show.
Yeah,
it is. And it's great to hear your backstory. It makes it even deeper. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. My guests are Alexis Tidwell and Johari Nandi Mackey. And they're both from Portland Center Stage's Little Shop of Horrors. It's running through October 16th on the main stage at the Armory in the Pearl District. And we have two tickets to offer for memberships at 1-877-500-5266. And that spells KBOO or KBOO. kbu.fm. You can donate online. And it's from what I hear, I follow Facebook comments a lot. And a lot of people that I respect have just had a great time at this show and really recommend it. And there's a deeper level to it, as you are talking about, the price of fame and success and what do we really need in life. And so there's a lot of issues there that actually get dealt with in a fun way. Yeah. So let's check in with Membership Central.
We are here on KBOO Portland, and yes, that is the D. May Roberts you're listening to, the two-time Peabody Award-winning writer and independent media and theater artist who has written and produced more than 400 audio art pieces and documentaries for NPR and PRI. Peabody Award-winning documentary May May, A Daughter's Song. Yep, that's her, and she's live on the air right now. I'm on a transmission to tell you that it's time to join KBOO 877-552-66. I'm joined by Ken Jones. He has the details.
Oh, thanks, Teresa. That number again is 877-500-5266. We have some gifts based on DMA's show today. We have Portland Center Stage production of Hold These Truths, and DMA will be talking about that soon. That's for a monthly contribution of $6.25. We also have another, this is a film that she'll be talking about soon also before the hour is over, and that's called The Lower Rooms at the Clinton Street Theater. That runs 9/23, September 23rd at 9:40, and that's for $5 a month contribution to become a new member or to increase your 7750. Go online at kboo.fm.
You care about the arts, you care about local theater, you listen to KBOO, and these things go together. And so I'd like to make our phone answerers smile. When you hear the phone ring here, it's because we're not pulling a trick on you or running a sound file. That's actually the phone ringing, and someone will smilingly take your call and fill out a triplicate carbon copy form. There's not even a computer in front of that person. We're just going to take your name and send you a letter.
An old-fashioned pencil and pen.
Yeah, because pen and paper. And it's not because, we're against the computers. It's just that we don't particularly need them for that, because we try to keep it basic here. We've got our job to do, and that is getting community radio out to you, and it doesn't cost very much, and that's we're able to keep it going with your small contributions. That's what it's about. And so it's up to you, and it needs to be right now, because if you put it off, it's not going to happen, is it? So please let your fingers do the walking, let your checkbook do the talking. It's so easy. 3 minutes on the phone. You can do it with a credit card, or you can do a monthly contribution, which is the best for us. 877-500-5266, 877-500-KABU, 877-500-5266. And now back to DMA Roberts.
Hey, and we have a $250 match, so any contribution right now that you make gets doubled. So I'm going to give the number one last time, 1-877-500-5266, and that spells KBOO. I'm DMA Roberts with the Membership Drive Edition, a whole hour of Stage and Studio. And with me are Johari Nandi Mackey and Alexis Tidwell. Hello.
Hi.
From Portland Center Stage's Little Shop of Horrors. And during the break, you were talking about how you hadn't heard yourselves singing that before, so it sounded good to you. Right?
Yeah,
sounded good. We sound good.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot in harmonies. When you have three-part harmony, it is so challenging, and to get it right every single time. I personally have trouble with harmony. So, what is the secret to you when you are singing all three of you together and you're commenting on Little Shop of Horrors?
Horrors. Well, the one thing that I appreciate about these other two women is that they come already very competent musically. They already know their parts. They already have the skill of blending. They already have the skill of being able to sing their part and not necessarily move to other people's parts. So I think they already bring so much to the table.
'Cause it's hard to listen to the others without singing what they're singing, right? Mm-hmm. And keeping your own,
you have to be really confident in your own part.
We went through some of that in the rehearsal process, and we had some great people to look at us over the piano and say, that don't sound
that'd be
right,
Rick
Jeffrey
Lewis.
And Rick.
Hashtag Jeffrey Charles. Hashtag Rick Lewis.
And hey, they did a heck of a job casting this show. Like we said, our voices meshed together so well and just fell into the pockets they were supposed to fall in. And it worked out
because you're really a girl group from that time period, from the 60s. Who are you modeling yourselves after? the girl groups of the 60s?
There's not one particular group.
We I mean, get, you mentioned the Supremes.
The Supremes. We get called the Ronettes all the time.
Even the Ronettes, the Shirelles.
The Shirelles. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, all of them. They were so awesome. They were amazing singers. Yeah. Amazing singers. So the title sounds more horror than it actually is, but Little Shop of Horrors. But the most horrific part is that carnivorous plant, mm-hmm. Audrey, who says, feed me all the time. I understand that Portland Center Stage made their own plant.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah? You want to describe it?
Huge.
Huge, massive, huge. Detailed, just really...
I mean, it's how huge, like 6 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet?
We say 6 feet, but I feel like it's definitely, it's probably about 10.
Yeah. The last it looks plant like that it you see has hydraulics that elevates it.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And we start with our little baby.
And
which
it's all
is
green,
probably,
but also lots of other colors.
But what I appreciate about the people who designed it and put it together is that it's not like Bill Fennelly, our director, always says, this is not a bright story. Mm-hmm. And so the plant sometimes can be shown as like this yellow little cute little plant, but this plant, our plant in Portland Center Stage, it's very dark.
It's very scary.
It looks like a plant, but it's not cute at all.
Yeah, at first it starts off kind of cute, right? Mm-hmm. As it's growing.
Cute as in small.
That's
it. Because it looks the same as a grow. It's the same plant, right. Same model, just scaled up.
Yeah, because as the story gets more serious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are two people operating it. I mean, one person operating it and one person who's the voice and actually the personality, mm-hmm. right? I think that would be challenging to work those two together, you know?
You know, challenging, but it just... The show was written so well, it fits right into place. You know, they rehearse together. They do a lot of rehearsals together. Chaz and Steven, they did a lot of rehearsal together and just learning each other's habits when they talk and things like that. And Chaz is actually looking at a monitor from backstage while he's speaking, and Steven is operating the system. So they're one little unit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one big unit.
Well, what are some of the favorite scenes that you two are in? All three of you are in. Ebony, shout out.
Okay, well, I will say one of my favorite moments is Meek. They say Meek. It's the name of the song, right? Mm-hmm. Just Meek.
Meek, yeah.
Where Seymour is now being offered contracts, he's being offered all this money, and we're like the girls who are like the fangirls who are like, oh my God, Seymour, you're blowing up, but then we tap back out like, mm-hmm. See, now you're getting the Meek shall inherit the world, and they will also inherit everything that they have coming to them.
Your whole character just changed while you did that.
Uh-huh. See how, and that's how it is throughout that number. Yeah. That's why it's my favorite number. You see the poles of us.
Right. And how about
I love
Jahari?
The dentist scene. It is so slimy and
but it's also very funny.
Hilarious.
Too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you describe it's a masochist, there's a masochist and a sadist.
Oh yeah.
You know, the dentist is sadistic.
He's
right?
very sadistic. Yeah. He's a nutcase.
Yeah. But he also likes helium a lot too. Or is it nitrous? Nitrous. That's right.
Oxide.
Not helium.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nitrous oxide.
Anything he can get his hands on to get high, that giggle gas.
So I'm sorry. So we have two tickets to offer for Portland Center Stage. We're talking here. Portland Center Stage at the Armory kicks off its new show with the rock and sci-fi comedy musical Little Shop of Horrors, and it's based on a film by Roger Corman and books and lyrics by Howard Ashe and music by Alan Menken. Performances running through October 16th. Shows are Tuesday through Sunday. Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m., excluding the 25th and October 2nd, and Saturday and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m., excluding, October 1st, and Thursday matinee at noon. Oh my gosh, they have you working, mm-hmm. except September. Well, that's already passed. So for more info, reservations, visit pcs.org or call 503-445-3700. And PCS is located at 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland, and the show is recommended for ages 12 and up. And it contains theatrical haze. What the heck is theatrical haze?
The
smoke machine.
Oh,
scary.
Fog.
And mature content and information at pcs.org or stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/ Stage and Studio. And so we have, I think, two pairs of tickets to offer at Portland Center Stage for Little Shop of Horrors. In like a few seconds, we have, what's up next for you after a Little Shop of Horrors, Alexis?
Well, I'll be heading back to New York, and we will also do the show again in Cincinnati.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. The same show with the same guest. Well, that's a nice reunion. So, okay. Jahari, I guess know what's coming up for you.
January, we'll get together and do this all again in Cincinnati.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's kind of nice. Yeah, awesome. It's not really a road tour. It's just kind of like
you get co-production.
Co-production. Well, that's awesome that you have that to look forward to, because often with actresses, it's not easy, mm-hmm. Yeah. Shall we say?
Right. You go back on the grind after that job.
That
you have something to do.
Well, it was so great to have you here. Do you want to just, you know, sing us out with just one little line of anything? Can you sing us out?
Sure. What do you want to do?
You want Little Shop?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. One, two, three.
Little Shop, Little Shop of Horrors, Little Shop, Little Shop of Terror, call the cop. Little Shop of Horrors, no.
Thank you so much. Beautiful. And I know I put you on the spot.
It's okay. But
we have so much to thank you for. Alexis Tidwell, Jahari, Nandi Mackey. Thank you for being here on Stage and Studio.
Thank you for having membership drive. Us.
We have tickets to offer to Portland Center Stage's Little Shop of Horrors. And you had a little preview there. So what are you waiting for? Let's check in with Membership Central and see if we still have the tickets to offer for Little Shop of Horrors.
Actually, D-May, we do. We set a premium on that of $10 a month to become a new member, or up your membership if you're already a current member. That's a total of $120, and that's Little Shop of Horrors at Portland Center Stage. You just heard D-May talk all about it and got a little preview of some of the music there, which I loved, a cappella. Just give us a call at 877-500-5266, or you can join online at kboo.fm. I'm Ken, and I'm here with my partner, Teresa.
And only 39 minutes left to double the impact of your donation without any extra money coming out of your pocket. And you may ask, how are you going to do that? Well, if you call now, that's all you have to do. If you call now, an anonymous donor has made a very generous offer to match the next $250 in donations called in during Stage and Studio. So make the phone ring and we'll smile doubly large, because you'll be doubling the impact of your gift by calling 877-500-KABOO right now. That's 877-500-5266. Now, it's got to be you and it's got to be now. And this is a great time to do it because, as I said, it's double your pleasure.
So with matching funds, if you call up, say, for those tickets to Little Shop of Horrors, a great show currently at Portland Center Stage, $10 a month off your credit card, debit card, electronic fund transfer, $120 totals, you get a pair of tickets to that great show, plus your gift is matched. In other words, you're giving $10 a month, but in effect, KABOO is receiving $20 a month because of this generous matching period gift. So give us a call. It's a great opportunity, 877-500-5266, or join online at kboo.fm. Teresa, I also have some thank yous here. We have Daniel from Portland, new member, Janelle from Aloha. Dan from Hillsboro, he actually gave us a nice comment, too. He said he loved the variety, community building, and strong, positive voices like Armando Puentes. Keep on, KABOO. And then Nancy from Portland. Thank you very much, Nancy, Dan, Janelle, and Daniel.
And Cole actually was just in here. Thank you very much. Cole came in from Southwest Portland and stopped by to increase his sustaining membership. You can do that, and I've been suggesting that you do that and get yourself a KABOO zip-up hoodie. Lovely for the weather today, and you may have noticed it's a little chilly this morning. This is a styling thing to put on your body, and we have your size. You can get it for $20 a month by calling 877-500-5266. And as I was saying, your contribution is now doubled. Whatever you contribute is going to be doubled up to $250. You know, these are small amounts, but we only need a small amount to run the station, and this is how we do it. Ike called in from North Portland, where he was actually parachuting and pulled out his cell phone, and
he was like in the middle of his parachute jump.
Yeah, no, I'm completely making that up, except for the fact that Ike is from North Portland, and he is renewing. And whatever you do, if you call from your car, actually, I hope that you will pull over first. Be safe. And I know that happens, that you're listening to KBOO transmissions in your car. And isn't that a handy thing to do? You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to give Sirius Network any money to listen to KBOO. You can't be tracked by the CIA when you're listening to the KBOO on your radio. You can just call in and do pull over first, 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO.
Teresa, you had me going with the parachuting. I was imagining all kinds of things because this is radio after all. So do we have tickets left for Portland Center Stage's Little Shop of Horrors?
What's the answer, Ken?
I can check with Ani.
Oh, well, I heard one phone ring.
They've been going fast.
So and we have more tickets to the next show.
They might be taken.
Okay, but we have the $250 match, and so I want to actually talk about the next show pretty soon. But that's great that people are contributing to that. That's awesome.
Yeah, we do have those tickets to the next show, which is, again, Portland Center Stage, and that's Hold These Truths, and you'll be talking about that, D-May, and that's for a minimum contribution of $6.25 a month. And as we've been talking about quite a bit, it's matching period. Your $6.25 a month becomes $13 to KBOO, because if you call up and pledge now, 877-500-5266.
Well, you know, KBOO is very valuable to this town, and I would like to ask you, what do you think would happen if KBOO were to go away? Don't you think it would be as if your favorite, think of your favorite two restaurants. What are they like, and what's that food like? And now imagine them being replaced with Arby's and McDonald's. You know what, that sort of life. You want to take advantage of our matching period and call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Fight the dumbing of America by joining community radio, 877-500-5266. And now back to programming.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio, and a thank you for all the callers who have called so far. And we hope you'll some other folks will join in and give us a call at KBOO at 1-877-500-5266 and support the arts programming and Stage and Studio and all the live program we do on KBOO. With me via phone, I hope, is Jeannie Sakata. She first appeared in Portland in David Henry Wong's M Butterfly in 1993, when Portland Center Stage was still called OSF Portland. And since then, she's performed in many stage productions and film and television roles. I've been following her like crazy. Her play, Hold These Truths, a play inspired by the life of civil rights hero Gordon Hirabayashi. The show opens at Portland Center Stage on October 1st and runs through November 13th. It's the first of PCS's Northwest Stories this season. And joining me via phone is Jeannie Sakata. Hello, Jeannie.
Hi, Dimae.
Hey.
Oh, great.
Do you remember M. Butterfly? And I was your understudy.
Very fond memories.
That was so great to see you. And I was always so glad you were healthy, so I never had to go on stage.
We had a good time working on that.
Yeah. Movie. Yeah. It was a fantastic show. And it's so great that you're coming back, but it's now Portland Center Stage. Gordon Hirabayashi was a Seattle native who was posthumously awarded the 2012 Presidential Medal of Freedom. When did you first learn about Gordon Hirabayashi?
I first learned about Gordon Hirabayashi in the early 1990s via a documentary film that was shown on PBS. It's called A Personal Matter, Gordon Hirabayashi versus the United States.
Mm.
And this is a documentary film that was made by Seattle documentary filmmaker John DeGraff, who I had the great pleasure and honor of meeting last year when we had our ACT Seattle run. And I was able to talk with him and find out how he made this documentary film. And I told him that had he not made that film, I might not have written this play, because I was so astounded when I watched this film and learned about this story that I had never heard of. And that amazed me and shocked me and kind of angered me, too, that I didn't know about Gordon Hirabayashi. And here I was, a sansei Japanese-American woman that had grown up in a thriving Japanese-American community. And this was the first time I had ever heard of his resistance to the curfew and exclusion orders that happened during World War II for Japanese-Americans on the West Coast. and their parents. So it was a real turning point in my life watching that film.
Well, you know, so much of that still occurs, Jeannie, as you, I'm sure you know, as young people don't often, Asian American history is just not taught. A lot of history, ethnic history, is not taught in the schools. And so it's no surprise to me that you didn't know much about them. I didn't know either until, you know, the 90s. And I think that, you know, this is important work here. At what point did you decide to do this one-person show, to have one person playing Gordon Hirabayashi in this?
In the early 1990s, one-person shows were not as common as they are now.
Mm.
I had seen a friend, a wonderful, pioneering Asian-American performer, Jude Nerita.
And oh, yes, yes.
You know
yeah.
Jude?
Yeah.
And hers was one of the first one-person shows I ever saw, and it was amazing seeing an Asian woman, American woman, perform five or six different roles. And then I also saw a beautiful show called, I think it was called Time Flies When You're Alive. It's by Paul Link, and a beautiful show about how his wife suffered through cancer, I believe it was. And
so you were inspired by these shows?
I was inspired by the format because, like I said, they weren't as common as they are now. And then I saw a few more. And then I came across Gordon's story, and immediately I thought, what a great one-person show this would be for an Asian-American actor.
Mm.
We do not have the opportunities in theater very much as Asian Pacific American performers to really show the length and breadth and depth of what we can do. And it struck me immediately that not only would this be kind of an amazing way to tell Gordon's story, but also give an Asian American chance to do something really virtuosic. And I've had, you know, several actors that have done the show and have had that opportunity to really show what they're capable of. So that's made me very proud.
So what is the story?
Gordon's story, I thought it'd be great to tell it as a one-person show because I thought that, you know, as a one-person show, Gordon could then embody in his memory and in his actor's body,